In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, you and me, we are sheep. We might not always think of ourselves that way, but if we slow it down and take a look at our lives on a daily basis, we have to come to the conclusion that we very rarely are the independent individuals we like to present ourselves as, but rather, more often than not, we're followers. And the things that we follow are varied and wise and not so wise. We're like sheep. If you think about a sheep puts its head down and wanders from one clump of grass to the next. Sometimes right over the side of a cliff, looking for that next clump of grass. In fact, if you and I were to look at our lives from the point of being a defenseless, helpless sheep that needs to be protected and guided, we come to the realization, if we did not live in a country that had such a strong law enforcement presence and such a powerful military force protecting us and keeping order, most of us would have a very difficult time surviving in a context where those two things did not exist. When you sang the words of the opening hymn, "I am Jesus' little lamb," did you feel a little silly? You don't usually think of yourself as a lamb, do you? Or did you think to yourself in that moment, all of the things that this hymn says about me, that it already said about me when I first learned it as a child in Sunday school, you know, all of these things really are still true. We don't like to think of ourselves and see ourselves as helpless little lambs. And I know it's kind of a stretch for you to see me that way this morning. Middle-aged, big old fella like me, a little lamb? Well, perhaps it's only my mother who really still sees me that way. I think there are times when my mother still worries about me and is very concerned about how helpless I may be in some circumstances, and she probably sees me more accurately than I see myself. In fact, it's not that hard, is it, to see mothers as shepherds, so to speak, those we follow early in life. I envision my mother at 20 years old, a new college graduate with her 40 third graders in her classroom, and I realized that that's some pretty amazing shepherding. And then when she traded in that career for 6 children of her own, we probably pretty much gave her a run for her money, just like those 40 third graders most days when we were young. We're followers. We don't always realize to what degree we follow. And not just in our youth. You look at your life right now and you ask yourself, how many of your perspectives of life, how many ways that you will go about doing certain things, the way you feel about things, your preferences in life, are not truly indelible markings of your mother's investment in your life? And whether you come to realize it on a daily basis or not, you're still following. You're following that influence. Now, so many of us, we leave home, we leave the security and the direction and the comfortability of mom and dad, and we don't begin to even sense how quickly we're latching on to other things that we're following. We really always need to take a step back from our lives on a regular basis to do a little evaluation and a little analysis and ask ourselves, what of what the world is telling me? What about the voices of influence in my life? How many of those are positive? How many of those are right and good? How many of those are things that I should be thinking a second time about, because maybe it's not something I should be following? We're sheep. Whether we always realize it or not, I guarantee you that the politicians and the marketing experts of our country see us as sheep. When you start thinking about all the money that they're spending and all of the promotional and social mechanisms that they're using, what are they trying to do? What are they trying to get from us? They want us to follow them, to trust them, to buy in, to listen to what they have to tell us, so that we might be convinced that they're right and everybody else is wrong, and we will follow. We are sheep. And there's nothing new about that. It's exactly the challenge that was in front of Jesus in our gospel lesson. I know it's about 2 months or so, and it was from a different gospel at the time. But do you remember our conversation not that long ago about the man born blind? Do you remember how the teachers at the temple treated him after he was brought to them, and they wanted him to explain to them how he could see again, and they get into this really weird conversation in which he's just basically saying, look, I don't know who this man is, and I don't know a lot about him, but I know he made me able to see even though I was born blind. And then they go get his parents, and they bring his parents in to vouch for the fact that he was born blind, and this weird revolving conversation winds up in a situation where both the man and his parents wind up getting kicked out of the temple because they're actually saying, we're pretty sure Jesus is from God, and it's a good thing that our son now can see. Chapter 10 of John's Gospel follows directly on the heels of John's rendering of that same account to us. Jesus is speaking the words in front of us this morning in direct response to the nonsense that went on between the leaders of Israel's religion and this poor blind man who now could see and was being robbed of his happiness and his joy over that reality that he could now see the world in which he lived as he had never been able to before. And so Jesus speaks these words, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. They didn't understand in that moment what he was telling them, especially those who were following him. But the leaders of the Israelite religion always got the gist of exactly what Jesus was saying. Jesus was forever pointing to their leadership as bad leadership. The leaders of the Israelite religion of Jesus' day understood that the people were sheep, and they understood that they were supposed to be shepherds leading those people, but they didn't see those sheep as souls needing saving and nurturing. They saw those sheep as a commodity. Not someone to protect, but someone to prey on. The very people who had been given the responsibility by God to speak His word, to offer His forgiveness, to free people from their sins and their guilt, and give them the joy of a reality of eternal life, resurrection, something better than the day-to-day drudgery that they were living. These leaders did exactly the opposite. Jesus pointed to their practices and their appetites as enslaving the people, putting burdens on them that they could not carry, and ultimately directing them in the opposite way of what God's word and God's will was for their lives. And we come to understand why those Pharisees and those teachers of the law and all the other leaders in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Galilee of the day hated Jesus so. Because Jesus was leading the people away from them. And why was that? Because when Jesus opened his mouth and spoke, and people heard the words he spoke, they recognized that voice. They recognized that voice as a completely different voice than the one they were hearing from their teachers and their worship leaders. It was God's own voice. It was their Creator's voice. It was the God who had made them and made them promises and had given them every reason to believe that he had better answers for them than all the things that the human beings around them were cooking up for them. You and me, we are sheep. We have so many challenges and distractions and predicaments that we wander into in our lives, for which we not only apologize to the people that are around us, but we with regularity come before our God and tell him that we're sorry, that we understand who we are and all that we've done and the mess we've made of things. The problem with the leaders of Jesus' day, they didn't want to admit that they were sheep. I'm a sheep just like you. And while I may bear the title pastor, which means shepherd, this shepherd is responsible for listening to the good shepherd's voice and following his direction in encouraging and leading you to also listen only to the good shepherd's voice. They had this all turned on its head. Jesus alone was the possible source of their forgiveness, their healing, their hope. And they were being led the opposite direction by the leaders of their day than listening for and to the voice of the good shepherd, the one who could save them. Therefore, Jesus said again, because they didn't understand the point he was making, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me, were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You and I are sheep. Do we always realize how many of the voices out there, how many of the influential propositions that turn our heads and get our attention are all about making lamb chops out of us rather than give us hope and answers and life? Jesus explains very clearly here that you and I know when we truly dig into everything that he's told us, when we have heard his voice in the clarity of his word, and have grown to understand the way he speaks, what he speaks about, how he speaks to us, it is not that difficult to sift out through the Holy Spirit's guidance all the other voices, whether they be voices in the culture around us or there be voices within these walls that do not speak his truth, his love, his message to you and to me. We're sheep. We're sinful human beings. And just like you, I hear voices that distract me away from God's word and God's will. They lead me into dark places, distractions, and sins. And I join you in thanking our Savior God that he does not stop calling out to us from his word and his sacraments with his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. For he has called with his clarion call of the gospel forgiveness to me through the words you have spoken to me. And he's called to you with that same forgiveness and love and eternity through the words he has spoken through me to you. And he has spoken that forgiveness and that love to us through our liturgies and our lessons and our hymns. He has spoken that word to us in our Bible studies and our devotions and in our conversations of pain and sorrow and victory as well. You know the voice of Jesus when you hear it. You know the joy and the peace and the comfort his words bring, and so you know exactly what he's talking about when he says here, I am the gate for my sheep. Through me they will be saved. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Every other voice we follow that is not from God and speaking God's wisdom and truth to us will eventually prove itself vain and empty and a dead end for any true answers that we need. That's what Jesus wants us to understand. But when we pursue truth in following His voice and His word, we find all the answers that we're looking for. We find help for our immediate problems. And we find answers to the biggest problems of our lives as well. And ultimately, we find what we know we desperately need at the very core of who we are. We want to live forever. Jesus tells us here, He's the only way there. He is the gate to eternal life. He is the one who can give us life that we might have it to the full. Those words ring in your ears, don't they? The full life? If you don't know what it is, I challenge you. You won't have to dig very far into the scriptures and start reading where you will discover exactly what God's talking about with this full life. And the more you read about it, the more you will want it, the more you will want to know more about it, and the more you will want to possess it firmly. Because ultimately what our shepherd is doing in these verses is calling us to realize we have absolutely nothing if we are not completely reliant upon Him day in and day out until we meet Him face to face in heaven. Now at this moment I could be flippant and say, if you don't believe me, just ask my mom. And I am absolutely sure she would endorse everything that I just said because she's the one who originally taught me to listen to Jesus' voice. What about you? Can you say that you've been blessed by that voice in your life from early on, telling you to follow Jesus' voice? If that is the case, you have every reason this morning to not only thank your God for your mother, but thank your mother too. But thank your God that mothers and fathers and grandparents and grandchildren and, because that goes both ways, doesn't it? And pastors and teachers and Sunday school teachers and neighbors and friends and people that you work with, that Jesus continues to call out to them and they continue to follow. And in following, they live His word. And in living His word, more people hear the voice of Jesus and see that truth in their lives, and it continually makes a difference. Because to you and me today, Jesus has spoken these very same words that has led generation after generation of Christians who have heard the voice of Jesus proclaim without a doubt in their minds or their hearts, this is exactly the shepherd that we need. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.